Hey there, welcome to First Five. If you're looking for encouragement, you came to the right place. Let's dive in. Well, today we're just going to jump into the Word of God and read through Psalm 41 and then pray through Psalm 41. We're going to break it up into different chunks and just really pray the words of Scripture back to God. The God-breathed words that are in Psalm 41, we're going to take some time and pray them back to God. So let's dive in. Psalm 41. This is a Psalm of David. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health." And so, Lord, would that be said of us? Would we be people who are kind to the poor? God, there are populations when you were here through in the form of Jesus, God, in the person of Jesus, when you were here on earth, Jesus, you cared intently about everyone. But there were four populations of people, Lord, that you dedicated most of your ministry to, and that is the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the immigrant. Lord, would we care about the quartet of the vulnerable the way that you care about the quartet of the vulnerable? Will we care about the least of these in society the way that you care about the least of these in society? Overwhelm our hearts with just a love and a compassion for those who may have less than we do, God. Would generosity flow from not only from our pockets and our resources, but from our lives, God? Would we be generous with our time and generous with our conversations, God? Would just a spirit of generosity overwhelm us? And would this be said of us, that you are kind to those who are kind to the poor, that there would be joy that extends, that there would be protection and rescue and healing and prosperity for those who are kind to the poor, not for the sake of receiving those things, but simply out of the overflow of our relationship with you, God, would we be kind to those who are less fortunate than us? And as a result, God, would you be true to your word? Would you protect us? Would you keep us? Would you rescue us? Would you heal us? Would you save us? It's in your name. Let's keep reading. Verse 4, it says, "O Lord, I prayed, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. But my enemies say nothing but evil about me. How soon will he die and be forgotten?" they ask. "They visit me as if they were my friends, but all the while they gather gossip, and when they leave, they spread it everywhere. All who hate me whisper about me, imagining the worst." And so, Lord God, we just pray for a protection against those who would speak ill of us. God, we come to you asking you for mercy. God, if there's any way that is in us that is unlike you, unlike your way, unlike your will, God, would you remove it from us, and would you set us on a right path? Set us on the path toward righteousness. Set us on the path toward holiness. What does that mean? Just being set apart. Set us apart from everything else, God, so that we can look more like you. God, would you heal us? And even when the people around us, when our enemies, when the people against us, those in opposition to us would say negative things about us, God, would you shield us from their negative words, from their harmful arrows? God, would you shield us from them, God? Even if when they come to us and they're gossiping about us, even when our name is thrown in the dirt, will we first remember that your name was thrown in the dirt? And so if we're following you, we know that we can expect a similar fate, but God, would you protect us from the emotional distress that comes along with the gossip of the people around us? Would you keep us safe from those things? God, we understand that we're going to endure suffering, but God, would you minimize the emotional distress and turmoil that may come as a result of feeling like we may have friends around us and then realizing that some people might actually be enemies, that they're jealous of us. There's just something rising up in them that is unlike you, that you also have to step in and cure. God, would you do that? Not only to us, but to the people around us, in Jesus' name. Let's keep reading. It says, "He has some fatal disease, they say. He will never get out of that bed. Even my best friend, the one I trusted completely, the one who shared my food, has turned against me." So this is just an earnest cry coming from David. And then he says in verse 10, "Lord, have mercy on me. Make me well again so I can pay them back. I know you were pleased with me, for you have not let my enemies triumph over me. You have preserved my life because I am innocent. You have brought me into your presence forever. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And so, God, we acknowledge the complicated emotional state of David in this moment. And God, we can even see our own selves in this. We're not going to read ourselves into the story, but we can certainly see our own emotions on display. The complexity of our human emotions, where it's like we're wanting to be well, we're asking for your healing, Lord, but sometimes we can lean back into our humanity as we're walking in step with you and in step with the Spirit of God. We can lean back into our humanity and long for revenge. That when people have treated us poorly, we want revenge. But God, we just ask that the scriptures are fulfilled in the way that you say, vengeance is yours. Vengeance is yours. It is not ours to reclaim. It is yours. And therefore, because it is yours, you are working all things together for the good of those that love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, God, we ask that you work those things together in our lives. God, would you work the things together? God, if there is opposition, if there are enemies, if there are people speaking ill of our name, if there are people who are harming us, if there are people who are laughing at us, if there are people who are, would you just minimize the emotional distress that we would feel? God, we know we're going to suffer some. I'm not even asking you to remove it all, because frankly, those are moments in time in which we can learn, and we are shaped and we are refined, and we can look more like you, that you are using even the negative things, the things the enemy meant for evil, you are turning them around for good. And so just when people are against us, God, we know that you are for us. So if you are for us, who can truly be against us? And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you that the conclusion that David comes to is the same conclusion that we come to today, that you are good. That you are good. And we ask that in the same way that David asked, God, would you be pleased with us? God, thank you for the preservation of our lives. Thank you that you have brought us into your presence, that is the thing that we desire, that is the thing that we seek, to be in the presence, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, Lord God, and gaze upon your beauty. So God, would we gaze upon your face? Would we relish in your presence? Would we sit here and would we not want to leave? Would we just want to be a part of what it is that you're doing? God, we praise you, the God of Israel, the God of everything, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. God, you are eternal, you are forever, and if we've put our faith and trust in you, we can be with you forever. So we thank you for that, and we love you, and we're grateful for your heart for us. Thank you for this time to come to you in prayer. We ask that you receive it, that you do a work in our hearts and in the hearts of the people around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I really hope that encouraged you today. We'll talk soon.